Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Well, all right, welcome back to the Survival and Business Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, I was thinking kind of as we're getting into, you know, we're approaching the new year, people kind of lay out their plans for the year, kind of reflect on things a little bit. And they decide where they want kind of their life to be heading. And maybe that's not what you normally do, but maybe it's time to give a little thought, kind of come up with a plan. You know, people who have a plan, what is it? So they say, you plan to fail if you don't have a plan, something. How it goes.
One of them bullshit sayings.
One of those bullshit sayings, exactly. So anyway, I wanted to talk about some of the skills that you kind of need. I would say, you know, I put the title as essential skills, you know, for when the shit hits the fan. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to. These are skills that maybe not every individual needs to have, but you need to have access to these skills. Mm-hmm. So maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody in your mutual assistance group, maybe, you know, something like that, where you're going to have access to all these things, because these are going to be game changers in facing life in a world without the government there to hold your hand.
Yeah. Mommy government is not going to be around, and then you're going to be in trouble. Your food stamps stop showing up and you're up shit's creek now.
Exactly. And that kind of thing can happen, maybe just because your government has limited budget. Mm-hmm. You know, if all of a sudden they weren't getting the tax revenue that they thought they had, maybe they can't spend as much on you. You know, that free healthcare, that free, you know, food not getting to the grocery store because there's limited fuel, or maybe, I mean, this is like super far-fetched, but maybe a politician would want to, like, either tax the shit out of diesel or make it hard to transport goods by, you know, cutting down on emissions or limited gas available. These kind of things could affect your life. I'm just saying. So anyway, getting right to it, 25 essential skills that, you know, will change your life if shit hits the fan, that would kind of make your life a lot easier and be essential. And these aren't in like a particular number one order. or, you know, anything like that, but they're all kind of relevant and worth discussion. And, you know, I think you might want to step it up. So anyway, Kevin, let's kind of jump into it. You have all a number one?
Yeah. Number one on the list is bartering and trading.
All right.
Now, a lot of people, you know, in the United States, most of the time you go to the store and the item you want is the price it is. You're not going to haggle with the cashier and get a better, cheaper deal or something like that. You know, a good way to learn how to barter and trade is go to the flea markets and garage sales and stuff like that. Right. You could haggle with everybody. Most of the time you go to a garage sale, people just want to get rid of that shit. They're not interested in really making any money. Flea market's a little bit different though. They're trying to make money, but they're still trying to sell their goods, you know?
Right.
And if you're not willing to walk away, then you might not get the best price. Another great place for that is I'm biking out here. Pawn shops. That's what I was thinking about. Going to the pawn shop.
And like, hey, where the words elude you. I got you.
That dude at the pawn shop is legitimately an asshole. I think everybody that runs a pawn, like, it's one of the requirements for running.
Where you go out of business, right?
He's an asshole. Yeah. He's going to fucking argue with you and he'll shout and scream and throw things. But if you just say fine and walk out, wait a minute, mister, come back. All right, we could probably make a deal.
My friend, come on back. I don't know. Right. Any of you who are former military, you got what I just said there.
My friend.
One of those shithole countries, I think, that Trump calls them. But another thing about, like, preparing for barter skills is also thinking of possible barter supplies, right? Like things you might want, you know. Think of what there was that Stephen King movie, Needful Things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cigarettes, tobacco, alcohol, food. People like food when they're hungry. When your babies are starving to death, that's like a thing.
It is. People also like drugs. If you had like a big stockpile of crystal meth, you'd be in, man.
You know, if you watch a lot of Breaking Bad and you know how to set up the little trailer in the back,
mm-hmm.
You'd be in. All right. So moving right along. That was just one skill. So imagine, you know, we got things to do here. Basic carpentry and shelter building.
Right.
Now, maybe it's not like, oh, you know, we're building houses and putting up sheds and, you know, for all the, but what about like even simple repairs? You know, and I would add, you know, depending on the level of, the level of shit hits the fan, you know, getting somebody to come patch your roof or to fix the leaky faucet, you know, presuming things are still going on, you know, we're in a like limited economy where it's hard to get people to come out and everybody wants a fortune because they got to feed their babies, you know, being able to take care of your own problems is a big thing. Or, you know, like I said, having somebody in your group who can kind of help out, that's going to be a game changer. And also, like, if you're thinking like, well, I'm an electrician and that's a skill, but when we have an EMP and there's nothing left and whatever, I would say something like setting up solar, you know, being able to do that to help people with their grid or, you know, work things out like that. These are skills. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that, like mechanic work, you know, being able to fix a car, repair a car, a lot of the basic stuff. And, you know, the truth is you can learn how to do that stuff just by doing it yourself, you know, fucking up at home. You know, I had my oven crapped out the other day and, you know, I normally just go and buy another oven. They're like $700, $800.
I thought you just call me. I don't know.
Well, it was talking to Chuck in the past that I was like, wait a minute, I bet I can fix this shit myself.
I've done this before. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, taking the oven apart, and it was actually what it turned out to be was a couple of the wires had burnt up and I just got new wires and replaced them and it was fixed and I saved $800 on buying a new oven.
That's the beauty of it, you know? And that's the thing. You're always kind of like, well, if I spend the money, is it really going to be better? You know, that was one of the things that always worried me. In New York, I was always like, man, I really need to get a new furnace. But I was like, realistically, this one may have 5 years left in it. And if I buy a new one, it may give me 5 years.
Right.
Like, you don't know. It's all a gamble. So anyway, being able to fix stuff, huge.
Next, yeah, and my recommendation on learning how to do that is to right now fuck your stuff up, you know? Don't electrocute yourself. Oh. But you know, when something breaks down, just try and fix it. You can look it up on YouTube right now. You might not always be able to look it up on YouTube, but you can YouTube just about anything.
When I was in the military, I think we had a term, fix it till it's broke. Mm-hmm. If you can't find out what's wrong with it, then just keep trying things until eventually when it really doesn't do anything, you'd be like, oh, that was it. That's the problem right there. I'll tell you what, you know, that always comes into play. So something to think about. I know I've seen memes on the internet and they're like, how do you fix everything? And the guy's like, well, I just keep Googling stuff. And then I do what it says, and then after it works, and that's kind of how people get there, you know.
Yeah.
Some people defeat themselves in their mind before they even try, and that's, you know, that's one of the things to, you know, keep in mind. Anyway, next skill I would go with is first aid.
That's a big one.
Yeah, medical stuff, and this would entail, you know, getting the equipment and the same thing like carpentry, electrical, having the tools that are essential to do the job are going to be part of this preparing, you know, but medical, setting up a first aid kit, you know, looking at what things might become relevant, you know, maybe that's antibiotics, you know, you in the prepper world, it's big on, oh, fish antibiotics and things like that. They talk about having these things on hand. You know, I was just talking to people at work and I was like, oh yeah, you know, with that problem, I was actually talking about removing stitches in my kid's arm and doing stitches and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I always keep a bottle of Orajel. It's kind of numb it. Cause obviously if you can put it in your mouth, it's all right. Right. And, you know, it actually like really good. And I was like, you know, I've used that for bee stings and, you know, anything with the kids to, you know, immediate relief. And they're like, ooh, I don't even feel it anymore. And you're like, yeah, I got you. But having things like that on hand, you know, learning the tricks of what's relevant could really be a game changer.
Mix some cocaine with a little bit of water, put it on an open wound. You'll be amped up too, but it'll numb that area up.
In the medical world, you're thinking codeine, but you know, it's a fine line. All right. Keep it moving on. Beekeeping.
Yeah. Now this is a big one. I know a lot of people that have done beekeeping, and 9 times out of 10, the first time people try beekeeping, that winter comes and all their bees die. And then that's it. They never try it again. But having your bees die, man, that's like the first step. And, you know, being shitty at something, that's the first step of being kind of good at something. So you just got to keep working on it. Bees can be very finicky when it comes to, you know, temperatures and things like that. But, you know, you get a little bit of practice under your belt. And almost every one of these things we're going to talk about, you know, you get better at it fast. The learning curve is fast, you know? So a lot of people, you know, there's not a lot of natural sources of sugar unless you live in like Jamaica or something, you're growing sugar cane. There's not a lot of natural sources of sugar available depending on where you live. Obviously there's, you know, fruits grow in different places and you know, you should as a prepper have sugar, you know, that should be one of the staples, but acquiring, you know, sugar is not so easy. But beekeeping and making honey is,
there are really, some tricks if you look into it, but
beekeeping would be one of the easiest ways. And, honestly, who doesn't want a little bit of honey on just about everything, you know?
Exactly. I can't say that enough. Blacksmithing, being able to fabricate things, you know, setting that up again, I don't expect every person out there to master every one of these skills. One, I think a little familiarity in case the world presents that and you're kind of stuck. Stevia is good for the sugar, I will say. But the blacksmithing, and I would say in the modern world, welding, you know, being able to solve your own problems, that's a huge plus. Welding, you're saying, well, you know, you said shit hits the fan and apocalypse. Well, you're right. I agree. You're probably not welding at that point. That's when kind of full-on blacksmithing would right. come into play.
Back in style.
Being able to work with metal in general. And like I said, as the economy kind of takes a dive, which I know that's not really foreseeable or something anybody thinks would ever happen.
Yeah, I went grocery shopping yesterday. So
if money was tight, you know, being able to solve your own problems, possibly your own auto repairs. I know, especially you New Yorkers up there in the icy north, rust can kind of get away from you on your vehicles.
Yeah, they cover all the roads with salt every time it's about to snow. And then, you know, that salt just splatters all under your car, all over the body. It's not possible to not have a rusty car, no matter how well you take care of it after a, you know, certain amount of time.
I went to a wedding up in New York not that long ago, and I remember looking out the window and looking at like the rocker panels on the car next to me. And it was like, the car was like 4 years old, and I'm looking at all the rust and the like
rocker. Was it a Ford?
Yeah, right. And I'm like, damn, you know, I'm like, that car is like old and crappy. They need a new one. And then I'm looking at it and I'm like, that thing's like 4 years old. You know, I'm like, what the hell? But yeah, that's how it is. So moving right along, meat smoking, preserving meat, canning, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Food preservation in general is a big deal. You know, it's great. You know, I have a freezer, you know, multiple freezers, multiple refrigerators in the house. One of the people in the comments mentioned that they moved their old refrigerator out to the garage. It's a great thing to have. Even if you're just keeping beer in there, which is what I do with my extra refrigerator.
Who doesn't?
It's important that, you know, you don't want to, it's a lot of space. That beer takes up a lot of space. So you got to, but what I'm saying is you can grow vegetables all summer long, and that's great. But as soon as winter hits, you know, you might be out of luck. You know, you're not getting any more tomatoes after a certain point of the year. But you can can that stuff. You can, you know, make tomato sauce. You can make salsas. You can make whatever with that, with all those tomatoes. Cook them down and jar them and save them all year long, you know? And right. And we're used to, you know, as preppers, we're used to that sort of thing, buying canned stuff, buying jarred stuff. And you can stick it on a shelf and it'll last forever. But you can make that stuff at home. You can make that stuff yourself, and there's a little bit of skill to it. A couple years ago, I tried pickling for the first time.
Okay.
And those pickles were not anywhere as good as the ones you get from the store. They're all mushy and shit. And it's a learning curve, though. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It takes some time and some talent to figure out how to make it so it's good. And it, you know, you can still eat pickled food even if it's mushy and gross, but.
Yeah, but no, they actually, there are some tricks to make your pickles crispy and work things out like
and
that.
And it's the same thing with smoking meat. It's the same thing with, you know, jarring vegetables in, you know, that's not pickled, canning things. It's definitely a skill, and it's definitely worthwhile to do, especially if you have your own garden, your own produce that you're making at home.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now I'm going to drop three on you right here all at once.
All right.
Hunting, trapping, butchering. And that's the thing. I mean, all these are skills. You know, the first season I went hunting and for deer out there and all that, it was different than the second season. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you talked about developing your skills with gardening. I'm sure, you know, the same thing applied to carpentry when I made my first table or whatever. The level of skill that was in the one versus something I made 3 or 4 years later, they're very different. And that's something that, you know, these are things that you need to apply and you need to actually try. But you also, when you do it, you realize what tools you really need. You know, everyone's like, well, I have an AR-15, so I can go hunt anything and whatever. And that's maybe not the case. Now, obviously, I know guys who hunt deer with a 22 and do just fine with it. Because they're taking headshots, but we won't talk about that. But I mean, that's the idea is, you know, the thing is you need to find out what tools work for you. And then, you know, a lot of guys I know, oh, I go out and shoot deer, but they drop it off at the butcher and that's the end of it. But, you know, they'll tell you, they'll be the first one. Well, I'm a master hunter. I go out and get deer every year and I'm not going to have any problem feeding my family in the apocalypse. Well, obviously, you know, we always discuss about how the herd and the animals will get thinned out. But even aside of that, do you know how to process that meat? Do you know how to butcher it? And then, you know, trapping, something like that. You know, these are skills that you learn and develop, you know, things you want to kind of, you know, perfect over time. So getting into these hobbies or connecting with people who do, that's really going to be what changes how these things play out, you know, in the apocalypse kind of thing. Moving right along, candle making. That's something I'm not too familiar with, but doing it, look, beeswax, you know, that kind of stuff, finding ways to, you know, keep this stuff going. Again, you find somebody in your group, you know, in your mutual assistance group, put somebody in your family. Hey, you know, you could be in charge of this. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a very dirty joke about candle making, but this isn't that type of show. So
no, not today.
We'll talk about, you know, a lot of it is having the items on hand, you know, when it comes to prepping. Maybe you don't have a bunch of candles. I mean, that's one of my preps is a bunch of candles. But having the wax and the stuff on hand to make that stuff, it's a lot cheaper than buying the candles themselves, you know, especially like scented shit. And honestly, you don't need scented shit. You can spend $25, $30 on like scented oil. You can add to the candles and make them fancy and shit. Whatever. That's girl stuff. Men just need candles so you can see what, you know, that you got to sharpen your knife and you can see what you're doing. It's you know, basic lighting is a big deal, you know, especially when it comes to winter and it, you know, doesn't get light until 7:30 and it, you know, doesn't get, you know, goes dark by 6 in the evening.
Right.
It's one of those things that, you know, make a big difference. Obviously, I preach about, you know, having your batteries, having everything set up, your flashlights, your lanterns, and all that sort of stuff.
Right. Solar, all are a big, right.
But big deal. Make a big difference just having them in your house. And, you know, having the stuff to make things at home and being able to make things at home, not just candles, but everything in general. You can save a lot of money doing that. Same thing with butchering. You know, you can send your deer to be processed at a butcher.
Right.
But it's going to cost you a lot of money that you're going to be out because you don't want to do it yourself.
Yeah, no, exactly. How about foraging? Learning your local area and what's in your environment. And how to, you know, how to implement, you know, going out and finding stuff. That's huge.
Right. I see that a lot of people are good, like woodsmen, you know, they're good hunters and, you know, they're good at, you know, hiking, camping, but they don't know the basic, flora and fauna in their area, you know, and it's specific to your area. You know, there's certain mushrooms that you can eat and certain mushrooms that are going to make you poop until you die. You know, you're just going to be throwing up for 10 hours and then you're going to die from dehydration. There's a lot of vegetation that's edible. It's not going to poison you, but it doesn't have any benefit. You know what I mean? There's no nutritional value to it. And knowing what you can and can't use makes a big difference. I see it a lot on like survival shows and stuff. I see like women out there that have no experience hunting, but they're making a big bowl of greens every single day, and that makes a big difference. There's not a lot of calories in greens like that, but a lot of the nutrients that you need. Yeah,
Kevin, they're getting the roughage and things are moving through properly for these.
Right, right. Being constipated is not a way to go, man. It really puts you on your back when you get real constipated and backed up. And when you're eating food that you're not used to, it's going to be one or the other. You know, it's going to be too much poop or not enough, but, you know.
Right.
You have to be conscientious and keep that stuff moving through you properly. I recommend that everybody, whether you're in a bad situation or not, increase your vegetable intake. It's good for you. Eat your veggies, man. Everybody's mom told them that.
Right.
Do what your mom knows best.
There you go. You know, I don't want to go off on a big tirade because we always do, but gardening, you know, that's the thing. It's tirade. Over and over again. You know, we talk about your first year isn't the same as your fifth year. Mm-hmm. And learning how to work the ground where you are and work with your soil, what type of seeds, what type of things will grow and work in your area. Those things are a skill you need to start applying and practicing and really work in if you're going to be proficient at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm big on gardening. You know, the missus honestly does the majority of it, but you know, I think it's a real skill. It's a real something that you really take some time to learn to get going. I've been working on working on ginseng for a long time recently, and still nothing. You know, I haven't been able to get it to grow properly, so yeah, still working on it, man. I've been at this house for 15 years almost now. And still haven't gotten anything to really, really come up and produce. So I'm expecting to be here another 15 years. Hopefully I'll have some ginseng to harvest before I leave, but
that's it. You know, I know I planted a lot before I left New York. It should be ready about now is my guess.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to go over to your old house there and fucking stomp around in the woods and hope nobody shoots at me.
Dig up, right. Exactly. Next, fishing. Again, a lot of people think, oh, I'll just drop a line in the water and it'll work. And that kind of does work in some instances.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on where you're fishing, right?
Yeah, it depends, you know? But learning the tricks and skills and how to, you know, implement it in your area, even where to find the good fishing hole kind of thing in your area. Right. All this stuff's kind of relevant. You know, you're always like, oh, well, the neighbor's pond and that's what I'm going to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not the best play, but, you know, hey, we'll see. Fish traps. That's the thing, too. I looked into making fish traps and there's a lot of potential there where, you know, if you go to a stream and kind of funneling them into the right spot, you know, with rocks, you look at some of the tricks that the Indians used to do. There is a lot of awesome stuff that could be a game changer, you know, and just because it's not exactly allowed with traditional laws, when that world ends and when it comes to survival, you know, a lot of these laws don't apply when it comes to survival and life and death. So I'm just saying, you got to keep your options open, but being aware of what's available.
Yeah, I feel like in a real like shit hits the fan type of situation, probably game warden is one of the most dangerous jobs people are going to have at that point. You know
what I
mean?
Because
that's, you know, do you have a tag for that deer? No, but I have a gun and it's loaded. You know, that sort of stuff might be a little bit hazardous. People get a little bit sketchy when food is scarce and, you know, these little laws about like preserving animals and making sure there's enough for next year. That shit's going to be out the window.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, that's one of the things like, we get so conditioned in the norms of society and how things work that we don't think outside the box. You know, like they talk about, you know, like you get in a fight, you don't immediately go to, hey, I'm going to stick my thumb in his eyeball and poke that out, you know, when the guy's choking you. And you see people who, you know, get choked to death when their hands are free, but the guy's choking them. And, you know, yeah, they could have stuck something in the guy's eyeball, but we're just so conditioned to not think that way. You know,
right. I don't want to permanently, you know, permanently maim this person, but it's weird. Maybe that's, you
maybe know. At that moment, but our minds just don't go there. But I got to say, people will sit there and, you know, spend time with the fishing rod in a stream when they could set up some fish traps that are simple. And I mean, it's just kind of opening your mind to what's out there and what's possible really can be a game changer. And, you know, thinking of how to approach things and basically getting outside the box, you know, realizing that you're dealing with a survival mindset versus, you know, your traditional day to day. You know, no, you're probably not going to punch the guy in the throat at the bar fight, but yeah, Kevin, you probably would. But
yeah, I have a friend of mine that was, he's not a big guy and he gets into fights all the time. And I don't understand how, I didn't understand how he wasn't just getting his ass beat all the time.
Right.
But he's the type of psychopath that does, you know, that's his starting. That's how you start the fight.
Right.
You know, that sort of stuff. And, you know, if you're not worried about maiming or killing somebody, you're going to win the fight. But, you know, you also might end up in prison.
Right.
But,
right.
You know,
just grabbing a hold of somebody's testicles and not letting go can really be a, you know, a game changer. Somebody likes to throw mud in their eye. I mean, you know, whatever it is, you got to do.
Pocket sand. I like that.
Another skill for the apocalypse would be entertainment or storytelling. You know, it would really suck if you just worked all the time and whatever, if you were living in a shitty world like that. You know, having somebody who can really kind of entertain or captivate. I mean, Kevin is the king of entertainment. So, you know, you see how it is.
I'm just good at dick and fart jokes. That doesn't go over well with little kids, though.
Another thing,
mad when you're telling them about, well, whatever.
Right, exactly. But. And another thing might be like a spiritual leader, right? Like if that's, you know, where your group's at, the guy who can kind of, but
everybody
even like the
psycho,
right. But also the psychological aspect of it, you know, just kind of talking people over the edge. We're talking about, you know, in a SHTF situation, you have people under an enormous amount of stress, people who are working in close proximity that's not the norm. People who are, you know, I can't talk to my mom every day. I can't, you know, who lives in Ohio or whatever, or, you know, whatever it is, the stress levels are definitely going to be higher, and kind of being aware and able to kind of go through some of those things, you know, could really be a game changer.
Right. Right. There's limited amount of alcohol. I got to entertain myself somehow. It's nice to have somebody that can tell some
stories.
I'm
just saying if, like, you had somebody in the group who read, like, a Jordan Peterson book or something. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying you need a head shrinker or anything. I'm just saying, you know, just somebody who has a little inkling, compassion, because I know that's probably not me.
Yeah, I think most of us,
right?
Most of us are lacking in that area, but, you know.
Feeling.
You got to have somebody else around. Hopefully it's not going to just be you,
but, hopefully,
you know. And then that goes with all this whole list, though, is you can't, not everybody can be good at every one of these things.
Right.
You have to have a variety of people helping you out, working together for this sort of stuff, you know. Hopefully you got enough food stored up to get you through, you know, some basic, you know, stages of early problems. But, you know,
now, one of the things I was thinking is what you guys could do is you could download all 435 episodes of the Survival and Basic Badass podcast, throw them in an iPod, put it in your Faraday cage, get it all ready, boxed up, good for the end of the world. Yep. Obviously, a solar system, just keep that iPod charged. Then,
now
wait,
go ahead.
Kill two birds with one stone. By having both entertainment, well, actually three birds, entertainment, training, and therapy from the Survival and Basic Badass podcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and for about $40, you can get a little phone charger that's solar powered, just stick it out in the sun, plug your phone into it, and you're good to go, man. You can keep that thing charged. One of the biggest things I think that a lot of people overlook is how quickly your phone is going to run out of power.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you're talking about computers and laptops. The internet's going to be down. Those sorts of things are going to be a little bit more difficult. But if you have stuff stored on your phone, even just having access to the basic tools on the phone, like a calculator and things like that, can be a big help having those things available.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Now, next on the list, I see raising animals.
Right.
Obviously, a million different types of animals. A lot of people that listen to this show already have chickens, and I think that's a big deal.
That's the entry gateway to animals, right?
Yeah, if you got a couple of goats, man, you're way up the list. If you got a pig, I have a friend of mine that is Muslim, and he's got goats and chickens. He raises chickens for meat. He butchers them himself, but he also has a pig. Pigs.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I'm like, what? Why do you have a pig? You can't eat pork and alcohol is like a no-no with that,
right?
And his wife wanted one, and they just got one, and it's like, whatever, dude. Pigs just hangs out, lives in the house, sleeps on the bed. I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah,
that seems a little sketchy, dude.
All right.
I don't think I'd go with the pig unless I was planning on eating some bacon, but whatever.
Well, that's it. So learning to kind of keep animals alive, kind of thinking outside the box of how you can feed your animals without the feed store.
I got a couple of birds right now that have just – I mean, I'm well into the egg-laying age of these birds, and they're not doing nothing. And I might have to eat them, you know?
I'm just saying.
You're going to do it. Come on. I can't just keep feeding you for nothing.
Right. Now, milking animals, that's something. Breeding and basic care, that's something. I think I have phones going off. Who knows?
Yeah, and when it comes to, like, veterinary stuff, you know, obviously that stuff can be expensive. It can be expensive to take care of animals. I have a strict rule on all the animals that I own. You know, and different animals have different price ranges, but everybody's got a life insurance policy. You get $200 worth of medical bills, and then that's it.
And then that's it. That's the end.
Mm-hmm. All right. I can buy a new one for $100. I'm not gonna break my bank trying to save your ass.
I know people are like, oh, what do you do when your chickens get sick? I'm like, yeah,
chop them up. That's really fertilizer.
I'm not going to eat a sick chicken, but I'm not going to keep feeding one either.
Mm-hmm.
Natural remedies for people, understanding herbs and the medicinal value. I mean, that might, you know, maybe fall under first aid, whatever you think, but learning,
yeah, I have
some of those skills could really, you know,
I have a few plants that I grow and save and dry that are good for certain medicinal uses. I mean, you know what they call natural medicines that actually work? Medicine. Because most of those natural remedies are bullshit. You know, most of them aren't really good for anything. Maybe they have a little bit of effect, you know, maybe you can, I don't know. Maybe you can make up some bullshit that you read in some sort of Native American guide or some sort of witchcraft bullshit, make some fucking magic potions and shit. But the truth is, there's not a lot of medicinal plants that are really valuable. You know, I grow a couple of things. I grow lemon balm and some stuff like that, that do have some natural effects. But again, you know, it comes down to, you know, prepping. A lot of that stuff is stuff you should have on hand. If you're looking for a pain reliever, plants aren't going to do it. You have to have some aspirin, some Tylenol, some ibuprofen, that sort of stuff. It's worth it to have that stuff available.
No, exactly. Yeah, but understanding how that stuff all works and putting it together, navigation skills. Somebody who can kind of sort out where you are, where you're going. That stuff everybody should kind of have a basic understanding, you know, and, you know, being able to plan bigger and further out, you know, if you have somebody in your group, you can kind of work on it. Yeah.
That sort of work, compass and map stuff.
It matters.
It matters. And you know, you can pretty quickly figure things out if you go on a long hike with a compass and a map and keep track of where you are as you hike, you know, depending on where the trail bends and which direction you're facing and that sort of stuff. You know, I can tell the time by the sun, you know, just by looking where it is in the sky. And I'm usually within like 3 or 4 hours of what actual time is. So, yeah. I mean, it is something that you can learn and get better at it the more you practice, though. And it is something that, you know, personally, that's one of the things that I do as a hobby. It's one of my, you know, one of my things that I do to relax on a weekend or something on a free Saturday afternoon. I'll go out in the woods with a map and a compass and just kind of do my thing. But all these things are like that. The more time you spend, the more time you invest in it. You don't have to necessarily have a teacher. It helps. You don't necessarily, you know, have to take classes and this sort of stuff. But it's something that the more effort you put into it, the more practice you do, the better you're going to get at it. And, you know, that's how it goes. Somebody, now going back to medicinal plants, somebody had mentioned the boiling white willow bark works like aspirin. As far as I know, that's true, but also it tastes like shit. Yeah, have you ever like chewed up an aspirin? Because that's what it tastes like to drink that shit.
Nice. Water collection. Being able to set people up with either water filtration or, you know, a rainwater catchment system. I mean, hey, if you were like, hey, look, I can come over and help you guys get your own water and do it without me, you know, learning the different ways, even if that's, you know, doing a hand pump well for somebody. I mean, those are skills that, you know, really can translate. Something you might want to think about, being able to sew. That's a big one. Or you had something you wanted to add?
No, we can move right on. As far as sewing goes, you were in the Navy. I was in the Navy. I think I actually got pretty good at sewing.
Yeah. I mean,
because you're doing shit all the time.
A little hole or throw new buttons on. Come on. You're telling me you're throwing something away because you have a button that, you know, fell off your shirt. Now, mind you, if you ask my wife now, I'm like, oh, that button came off. Can you handle that? I wouldn't know what to do. And
I wouldn't know how whatever, to do that.
But that's whoa. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have done that with plenty of articles of clothing. You know, I've spent a lot of my life being a poor person. You know, I will sew a hole. I will fix a hole in something. I will, you know, I will fix something with a needle and thread. You know, put me on it. I keep my needle and thread stuff right next to my boot polishing stuff. Right. You know, sewing machine's great, but you know, you can fix
that's even
stuff,
you know, I mean, yeah. The normal adulting thing. It used to be like, oh, if you were traveling and you have luggage or whatever,
you have a little
keep a sewing kit in there.
Yeah, a little sewing kit in there.
I mean, that's paid off for me a few times. You know, I think what it is. I go to the big wedding or something. I eat too much steak and whatever, too much beer, and then
the start shooting off like bullets.
And then I'm like, well, if I move it an inch over and move the button over here, now it kind of works. Yeah, so just saying, you got to keep your options open, you know?
Yeah. I was telling my wife recently that I had to put a new hole in my belt.
Yeah, sure.
And she's like, oh, you're getting fatter. I was like, no, bitch. I've been working out and staying trim. This is a new hole the other way.
The other way. That's an option, right? It could happen. I mean, that's what I tell people. I'm like, oh, yeah, just, you know, I need new pants because I'm changing sizes all the time. That's how much I work out.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting,
you know, I mean,
we're getting into winter.
Right.
And I'm back on cake and cookies. But come springtime, man, it's, back to the vegetables and meat, staying lean, getting that six pack going. With the wintertime and the cold weather, you got to have a little bit of meat on your bones, though. It's not, you know, being fit and skinny. Well, being fit is one thing, but being skinny is not really
ideal.
Great for negative 10 degrees.
We talked about candle making, soap making. Again, you
similar
might be
items,
the same guy who does both things.
Products.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's something big to check into. Fire building. Now, this is a skill you guys actually, every one of you needs to kind of, you know, understand and get into. You know, people don't really comprehend about, you know, if it's kind of wet out or it rained even 2 days ago, going out and finding nice stuff to just snap together a nice fire and get it going definitely can be done.
Right.
But it's something you need to figure out the right ways and the right tricks to really be able to do it.
And I'll tell you, when it comes to fire starting, I learned a few like Native American tricks that really help out. The big one though is to throw a bunch of gasoline on that shit before you light it up. Just don't do that if you're fond of your eyebrows, you know.
That's a rule. Yeah.
Lighter fluid is better than gasoline. I think people always underestimate how fast and hot gasoline burns. Don't throw a gallon of gas on your campfire and lean over with a match and try and light it. That's not the way to go with it.
Yeah. Outdoor cooking. Now that's like an art form. And there are some great guys on the internet who, you know, you can learn some real skills.
Yeah,
and there's
that's
a guy,
another one of my hobbies.
It really is. And it I mean, you know, such a great thing to get into and fun and eating's always a plus. And just honestly, hanging out, standing out outside around a fire or a nice fire pit, really kind of nothing better in life. Like, I don't even know why you would be a prepper or survivalist if you didn't get out and enjoy a little outdoor cooking and get there. And I'm not just talking about your propane grill. I'm talking about a real man fire, you know?
Right.
You get out there.
I was in South America. Shit, it's been like 30
like
years. I don't even
years
want
ago.
To admit I'm that old, but like 30 years ago. And I was with this woman. We went up to like a very, very poor, very rural area. There's no electricity. There was not enough food for everybody to eat. You know what I mean? That type of area. And this lady built a little fire, got some rocks together, put a pot right on
stone
top
soup.
Of it. And she made the best stew that I've ever eaten in my entire life. And I realized then how easy it was to actually cook on a fire. You know, you can make a little potato oven, you know, throw all that stuff in there. I've got a tripod that I got recently that you set up in the fire with little grill that hangs from the middle of it. And I've cooked steaks on there. I've cooked all sorts of great stuff, man. It's really not that difficult, but it can be intimidating if you haven't done it before. And I know a lot of the guys that listen to this podcast, obviously, you know, this is a skill that a lot of people have, but it's simple enough to do. And if you haven't done it before, you should probably give it a try. And at least, you know, like every other item on this list, fuck up a couple of times. It's all right. You know, do it. Fuck up when it's not an emergency. You know, don't wait until it's your last resort and then fuck up, because then you're going to be in a world of hurt. Now, the last one I got on here is tanning. Tanning it can be a difficult item a difficult thing to do if you don't have the proper stuff for it.
Oh,
now
there's some skills.
There are some skills involved.
UP, right? There's some tools available to you,
and if you're looking to make
all
guns,
the animals
gunpowder,
all right, all the animals that you kill have brains, right?
Right, and because God is so great, the amount of brains a deer has is exactly the amount of brains you need to tan a deer hide, and that goes for almost all animals. So you know what I'm saying? Like, if God didn't want us to eat meat,
Why would he
make animals out of meat? You know what I'm saying? If he didn't want us to eat animals, this is all comes back to the same thing. You know, everything's set up in a perfect manner, and you can believe in God or not, but you know, that's how it works out. So, you know maybe
it's
often
been said to me, you know, that he doesn't have enough brains to tan his own hide, but you know, I think I do.
If you ever have to tan Chuck's skin to make a Chuck suit, you know he's got enough brains in there to do it. Yeah, well, I mean, you know how it's going, man. We're all going to be eating bugs soon.
It's just a matter of time, you know? It turns out they did a study, and eating bugs is actually horrible for you.
Yeah,
I mean, again, if you're dying and starving in the woods, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not a healthy diet to eat bugs, no matter what your government tells you.
Yeah, no, it's not. And I've had fried grasshoppers and all that stupid bullshit that people try and make. And, oh, we're fancy. We have this is a fancy restaurant. We've got weird things. Yeah, it tastes like shit. I don't care how you cook grasshoppers. Yeah. They taste terrible.
Oh, so I was just listening to this prepper novel not that long ago. And, you know, they're big on the whole, you know, great reset and, you know, the end of the world kind of thing. And so there's this big collapse and everybody's at like FEMA camps. Mm-hmm. And so if you're the, you know, right-wing conservative Trump supporter or whatever, you end up going to like Camp 13 or whatever the highest level of jackassery gets sent to this camp.
Right.
And basically they just shoot them all right at the last one, you know, kind of like Nazi Germany. It was a thing. And they shoot them all. But what they do, they have these soldier flies feasting on the bodies. Mm-hmm. And then they're using the larva from the soldier flies to make your like your vegan burger, you know, your
nice.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I don't know if it's a vegan burger if you're eating bugs. I'm not sure where the line is there.
Whatever. Dude, I don't know about that shit. I just, whatever. throwing out words I heard on the television. All right. What is it? Beyond Burger. That's the one I'm thinking of. But I mean, I know they're still
made out of vegan. Bugs.
I don't know what the hell it's made. It's made out of magic. They're like, it's not meat. But I guess if it's bug meat, then it's still bad.
I don't know that that's what Burger King is serving, that Impossible Beyond Whopper. I wouldn't know, though, because I'm never going to eat that shit. So I'll tell you right off the bat, it ain't going to happen. I'll starve to death before I start eating that fake meat bullshit.
Yeah. No. You know,
and maybe they can, at some point, they'll be able to produce something that tastes just like meat. But not yet. They still haven't done it. I've eaten vegan, you know, vegan meat before, and it all tastes like shit.
Oh, Kevin, it's an ugly world. So, anyway, you guys are wondering what you want to get somebody for Christmas. You might want to get them some badass gear by going to preppingbadass.com. And honestly, if you're thinking about getting it now, it ain't going to happen on time. I know I ordered Kevin a sweatshirt like 3 months ago.
And I did get the coffee cup, though.
Oh, a cup came. All right.
No, sweatshirt yet.
Sweatshirt's coming. I did get an email like, we're not really there yet. So anyway.
So don't buy that for anyone for Christmas. Maybe you want that. It's getting cold out. You need
maybe their birthday's in February.
Mm-hmm.
Preppingbadass.com. Click gear. And we got some cool shit going on there. New sweatshirt on there. I know Kevin's dreaming of getting it in the mail. It could happen. I'm just saying. You want to support us on Patreon at patreon.com. Show the love. That's fine. Dude, don't. It's okay. You do what's right for you. I don't blame you. The other thing I would say, support our sponsors. You know, if we throw up a cool link for body armor or we throw up something for EMP shield or something for Palmetto State Armory, use the links that we have and it helps us out. But I'm not telling you to spend money you wouldn't spend. I'm telling you, if you do spend money and you want to
use planning on getting something like that,
you might even get a discount. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I'm looking out for you. Otherwise, you have questions, concerns, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. And with that, I would say stay safe and we will talk to you guys next week.